Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
This podcaster named Sean Allen.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
ASAP, another Sean Allen podcast.
So what you heard right now was Michael D. Bowers, If You Want Her.
Yeah, that's me.
Tell us a little bit about If You Want Her.
Okay, I was at home during the pandemic, and I had been watching the Studio 54 documentary on Netflix like crazy. I've just been watching it. And I was like, I'm obsessed with this. I wish I could have lived during the time and experienced Studio 54.
Right.
And so I called my friend Wilkes, and he's a producer that I wanted to work with a while ago from back home.
Right.
And I called Wilkes and I was like, hey, you know, he had some tracks and I heard something and it caught my ear. And I was like, I want this track. So all he had for it was the hook. And so I called him. I was like, let's flesh it out. This is what we want. I want this. I definitely want a bridge. I think that's something that's missing in songs.
Oh, yes.
And definitely. So we worked on the bridge. We got on a Facebook video chat and we worked on the bridge together. And then he came up with some other stuff for the bridge in addition to what we came up with. And I just wanted something. I knew that once the pandemic was over, that people weren't going to want to hear the same four note singing, lo-fi, yeah, sad sack, you know, type of song, singing in italics with, you know, these ashy voice, fake accent singers. And so no shade to them because there's a lane for it. But I just knew that that's not something I wanted to hear. That's not something I wanted to make. And so I wanted a song that when we came out of the lockdown and everything started opening back up, well, you could dance to.
Right.
A la Studio 54, Michael Jackson off
the wall.
So,
okay, so yeah. That's when I first listened to If You Wanna. The first thing I heard was PYT, Michael Jackson.
That was one inspiration.
But
that was an inspiration.
But I'm like, wait a minute, you kind of did. Well, I don't know if this is intentional, but it's kind of the same song. I heard Monica, All Eyes on Me, too. I mean, because it was PYT.
Well, it was pretty much the same song.
Shit.
But you also hear, if you know old school music, you'll hear Aretha Franklin, Sweet Sweet Baby Since You've Been Gone, in the bridge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to re-listen to that.
Listen to the bridge and then listen to Sweet Sweet Baby. And that was something that we, that was an influence as well. Obviously, we love Aretha Franklin, RIP to a legend. So I wanted to make sure that I wanted to pay homage to all of some of my favorites.
The greats.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's one of your favorites?
I think Michael Jackson is one of everybody's favorites.
Of course.
If he's not,
who produced the song?
His name is Wilkes. I call him Wilk $. It's W-I-L-K-E $.
Uh-huh.
But his name is Wilkes. If you know Sam Oat Music, he is Sam Oat's musical director as well. Yeah. So he's a friend of mine. We met back in Hampton Roads when I lived there. And we always talked about working together, but you know, everything has to align the right way, and it just did. The timing was right, the track was right, the vibe was what it needed to be, and especially coming out of what we're coming out of now, it was just like perfect. And the sirens are going because it's just so good that people are so overwhelmed by the song that, you know, they had to call a paramedic. So yeah.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a good one. That's pretty dope though, man.
Thanks.
So you wrote the song?
I did write the song.
And you're getting all this publishing and
So Wilkes had the hook written.
Wait, because, you know, on ASAP, we're all about black ownership.
Yes.
And IP.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Okay.
I have all of my, so all of the, it's a music business.
Right.
Right. And one thing about me, I am a businessman. So all of the business was taken care of before I even thought about getting the song mixed, mastered or anything. I want the writing credits, the split sheets on the back end. Everything is what it needs to be. All the licensing is where it needs. And although there are no samples in the song, it's an original song.
Right.
I still wanted to make sure that I reached out to make sure that I didn't need anything, because I don't want nobody coming suing me later.
The one Quincy Jones. Or the Jackson
or the
estate.
Jacksons come talking to me like they did. Well, I can't say names. I don't want to say any names. But like certain Motown people had some issues with certain current songs that kind of reminded them of previous songs.
Right,
so I didn't want that.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Are you talking about?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, I don't want my lines blurred. So
right,
I didn't want to do that.
One.
So, yeah.
Well, that's funny. And that's interesting. You're from Hampton Roads. Mm-hmm. A lot of music. I mean, most of the music we listen to kind of comes from that area. Missy Timberland.
Yeah.
Pharrell.
Yeah.
Chris Brown.
Yeah.
What do they call it, like Seven Cities or something?
It's the Seven Cities, 757.
Oh, my shit.
Yeah. There is, what is it? It's Hampton, where I'm from, Newport News.
Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Portsmouth.
Virginia Beach, Portsmouth, Suffolk, and Chesapeake.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the Seven Cities.
I didn't know you were from there.
Yeah.
So this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So I guess, speaking of, Missy Elliott heard the song and she liked it. She tweeted, she screenshot her listening to it and the lyrics. And I was like,
oh,
okay.
So you're getting a little check out for this.
Well, you know, hopefully, I get a big check off of it. That's what I want. But I had, you know, it's a funny story. In 2010, Missy and I started following each other on Twitter. And we had talked about, I was still living in Virginia. Of course, I was working my 9-to-5. I was working at a bank. I'd been there for 8 years. And I talked about wanting to work with Missy. And she was like, hey, you from Hampton? I'm from Portsmouth. We can do something together. Da 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 da.
Right.
And so she was like, we can sit down and talk over pound cake. So here I am living in LA. It's been 4 years now. And we had our artist connect moment. And I think it was with this song. So hopefully... you know, and I love Missy Elliott. I don't think she gets the flowers that she deserves.
That's the whole episode.
Missy's receipts as an artist, as a songwriter, and as a producer, her receipts are longer than CVS receipts. And you know, CVS receipts are long ass receipts.
But you know what, though? She's been eating off her craft
since she came out.
She's been consistent. You know what I mean? So maybe the craft and eating off the craft is better than the clout. You see what I'm saying? She was honored like on
she was,
MTV,
but I mean just
whatever,
in the
right?
And she as she should have been with the Vanguard Award.
Right, right.
But yes, eating off the craft is ideal, but when you're as influential as Missy Elliott is, and I'm not saying this because I'm a fan, but if you just take a step back and look at it music-wise, her influence, if you played any of her songs today, they were so ahead of their time that if they came out today, they would still sound fresh.
Shout out to Timberland and Missy.
Today is actually
the anniversary
of Super Duper Fly. Yes, it is. 24 years.
Wow.
24 years.
What's your favorite song off that album?
Oh, God. Surprisingly, and don't judge me for saying this, but it's The Rain.
I mean, what's wrong with that, man? It's timeless. You still hear it today.
Yeah.
Timeless, man.
And people are still doing the, you know, the video. Yeah. They do it. And it's even the babies, like, that's how you know. People know Michael Jackson. These kids know Thriller. These kids know Missy Elliott. They know Super Duper Fly. So it's just like, all right.
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
I think, too, so my only problem with Missy not getting her fun, I think she's getting her recognition, but I don't think she comes up enough in the female rap conversation. They just don't. She's not a part of it at all.
But do you know why I think that is?
Why?
I think it's because Missy has transcended being a rapper.
Right.
When you think of Missy now, you think she's a singer because she can sing. She's a producer.
But she don't even come up in the like singing conversation.
She didn't.
You never hear nobody. She's never in that conversation of singers or rappers.
But that's because, like, you know how you have those people that just Missy's just an artist.
I think, like, okay, I'm cutting you off. I'm getting excited because everybody know those are my people.
Yeah.
It's almost like Michael Jackson. People don't really talk about the vocal ability. They talk about it as a figure.
Performance, right. They don't talk about him vocally. They don't talk about him as a producer, as an arranger. And
right.
We know Quincy Jones is Quincy Jones,
yeah.
Right? But Michael was really, there are tapes where you hear Michael just like beatboxing parts and just humming what he wants the instruments to do, so they don't have those conversations. But I think that's like Queen Latifah. Yes, we know her as a rapper, but now she's an actress, and then she sings jazz, and so she's got all these things. So she's transcended being a female rapper, which is why I think that the same with Missy and Queen Latifah, they don't come up in the conversations, because there's a generation of people now that don't know Queen Latifah as a rapper. They know her as from Living Single. They know her from Bringing Down the House and Beauty Shop. So it's just like, okay, her career is great in that sense.
Right.
But so is Missy. Like, you have people in the industry that know her as a producer and a songwriter and this, that, and the other.
Right.
But as a rapper, unless you were around when she was then, when that was the predominant thing that she was doing, like, Missy Elliott is like an enigma. She's right. transcended it. So I would like to see her be in those conversations as a rapper and, you know, producer.
And it's crazy because her big influence, like you said earlier, yours, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson is the reverbing theme of all of our musical conversations.
Yeah.
But he was a big influence to her. She modeled her career off of Janet and Michael to some extent.
If you're going to model a career off of somebody.
And then here you are with If You Wanna, with the Michael Jackson influence and the Quincy Jones influence.
Yeah, definitely Quincy.
So was that on your mind, like, when you created this song? Like, were you like, okay, let me make a time... Well, okay, so you always want to make a timeless bop.
For sure.
But, like, was that like, okay, let me pull from, like, the best Aretha and Michael moments and create this song? Was that like a thing when you created If You Wanna?
I think in all of my music, one of the things at the forefront of my mind is to let you hear my vocal influences, right? And so Michael Jackson is sonically, he was an influence for the song. But in the song, you hear, I think, like you said earlier, the churchy thing with the Aretha Franklin. Whitney Houston is, you got on a Whitney Houston shirt today. She is my number one favorite singer. And, you know, I had that. Then there's Mariah Carey. So you hear some Mariah Carey moments in it with, like, some of the arrangements. And then Karen Clark Sheard is also one of my favorite singers. So then you hear her in the bridge along with Aretha. So it's all of my musical influences kind of shape all of my songs. And so, yes, I did approach If You Wanna in that way. I wanted something that felt like a Michael Jackson Off the Wall record, because that's when he was going to Studio 54, you know,
the
wall.
Makes a lot of sense.
So sonically, it had to feel like that, like, you know, working day and night, the Jacksons, you know, all that good stuff. And then, you know, make it a 2021 version of it. So it was like, okay, yeah. So that was the approach.
So I usually do this on my Patreon with my live guests when I have live people on.
Okay.
I'm going to do it with you.
Okay.
And we're supposed to do it at the beginning of the show, kind of like an icebreaker, but I call this either or, okay?
Okay.
So what I'm going to ask you, one or two, and you pick one or two, and I have the option to dive into your choices, okay?
Okay.
This could be a little controversial.
What, you know, Sean?
We're recording this, and I'm not erasing shit. So,
okay,
are you ready?
Are you ready? Okay.
All right. All right. So this is the icebreaker: either or, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, or L.A. Reid and Babyface.
L.A. Reid and Babyface.
Podcast or radio?
Radio.
Los Angeles or New York?
Los Angeles.
Whitney or Mariah?
Whitney Houston.
Why not Mariah?
Okay. Whitney Houston is my favorite female singer of all time.
Right.
Mariah Carey is, if Whitney Houston is number one, Mariah Carey is 1A. Like, they pretty much tie. The reason that I feel like I gravitate toward them both, but Whitney to me has the slight edge, because vocally Whitney's voice is just so majestic, and the, not just the quality and the timbre of her voice, but Whitney knew how to wrap everything that she sang with, like, this emotion that you felt. And Mariah does it too in a different way. So Whitney grew up in church, so she knows how to emote from that way. Mariah grew up around church and people that were influenced by church, and she may have gone to church a few times, and she knows what to do.
Right.
But the where Mariah shines is in the songwriting, where Whitney shined was in the delivery of the vocal.
Did Whitney Houston ever write any?
She did. She co-wrote Count On Me with Baby Face. She co-wrote.
You'll do that with me, co-wrote?
She co-wrote.
She co-wrote?
She co-wrote Count On Me with Baby Face. And then she wrote Taking a Chance on her on the Whitney Houston album, the I'm Your Baby Tonight album. But she wasn't a songwriter, no.
So one would argue that Mariah Carey is more talented than
Whitney Houston. You could argue that. It would be a off-kilter argument because Whitney was the, I feel like Whitney was the voice. She was the better singer. Mariah Carey was the more established or more evolved artist.
Okay. Yeah. I do think, I mean, we have this conversation before. Whitney Houston is the greatest vocalist of all time.
Oh, for sure. No question about it.
It's undeniable.
No question about it.
I definitely agree with you there. But I do think that Mariah Carey may have better songs.
I think that
that could be true.
I think that is true. I okay. think that
okay. Mariah Carey has better. Mariah Carey has more weapons than Whitney Houston, but Whitney Houston got those three nuclear bombs. You
okay,
understand
that's
what I'm
a,
saying?
I, okay. That's a fair. I think that's a fair way to put it. I think that Mariah Carey has a vast arsenal of things at her disposal because she is songwriting. She is arranging the song. Right. She's doing these things. Mariah Carey excels in the studio, right? And she's a great artist.
Right.
And you get her artistry in it, and she's like, she's dives in. She's fully submersed in her artistry. But like you said, Whitney Houston is the live singer. She's the one that does it well in the studio. You know, there's the story. Whitney Houston did I'm Your Baby Tonight in one take because she wanted to go to the mall before it closed.
Shout out to Babyface.
Shout out to Babyface. Shout out to when she did How Will I Know. That was what we heard was her going in the studio the first time after getting the tapes. Because, you know, back in the day, you had to get the tapes.
Yeah.
And she sang it. And, like, Narada Michael Walden was like, hey, this is the first take. Like, she did others, but they were like, no, the first one is the best one.
Wow.
So when you have somebody that can do it that well in the studio and then do it even better live, like, that's, you know, I mean, come on now. And right. I'm of the same belief. Whitney Houston is the greatest, has the greatest female voice of any non-classical singer ever.
Agree, I agree. Pharrell or Timbaland?
It depends on what era Pharrell is and what era of Timbaland.
You only can pick one.
Timbaland.
I agree with you on that. Mm. Instagram or Twitter?
Twitter.
Nicki or Kim?
Kim. Okay, let me say this. Let me say this because I don't want any of the barbs coming after me. I think that Nicki Minaj did a fantastic job with holding down female rap in a time when female rap wasn't a thing. I think that she is talented, and I think that she deserves the credit for kind of giving it its resurgence. However, if you think about female rappers that really kicked the door in and took a lot of the vitriol that she had to take so that Nicki could walk and stride, right, it's Lil' Kim. From the fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Crush On You, the video.
Iconic. It's legendary.
And then when Diana Ross did that to her titty.
Her boobs at
the
VMAs.
She had, like, iconic moments. Like, wow. Nicki never had those moments.
And so...
And Lil' Kim was busting like a nigga, too. She
was. Like, she. And the thing is, like, Kim... What I feel about Kim and Foxy and people of that, you know, era, Kim really did. She was the girl that really kicked the door in from the hip hop world because she was doing it and people respected her for her talent. But then fashion wise, and then she's pretty. So then she had the makeup campaign. So she was able to kind of morph into this glamazon rapper that had these really hard bars. And then her and Misa Hilton Brim with the fashion and, like, you know, those looks are still quite as it's kept being emulated and re-emulated today.
Definitely.
And it's just like for every, and I, you know, not to disparage anyone that does these looks, but for everything that we see, we can pull a reference. And I like a reference because it shows that you pay attention.
Right.
But I mean, Kim was the moment.
Yeah,
and so, yeah.
Shout out to Lil' Kim.
Shout out to Lil'
Kim. Her last album was whack though, but.
Well, you know, I think that Kim is, I feel like Kim is, she's trying to find her footing in a new musical landscape. As a legend, it can be hard to do that.
Right.
And so I think that she will And I'm hopeful.
But she doesn't. She kind of doesn't have to, though.
She doesn't have to. But so, like, it's like Queen Latifah said: once you're a rapper, you're always a rapper, right?
Right.
I'm a singer. I will always be a singer, even if I'm not making music. If I pray that I'd be able to make hits and, you know, get the chart success and the acclaim. But even if I don't, I will always be singing.
Right.
So I think that Kim feels that way too.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dark liquor or light liquor?
Dark.
David Foster or Quincy Jones?
It depends on what field.
Nah, you only could pick one.
But for what field? Soundtracks or just overall music?
Overall music.
Quincy Jones.
Because I know... Okay, let's dive into that. Could you like Whitney? Whitney and David Foster,
so
got some of the best tunes together.
They did great work.
Right.
I love Whitney Houston. I love David Foster. I think he's phenomenal. I just think that when you look at the overall scope of music that I enjoy, like, come on, Quincy Jones.
It's crazy how long he's been in the game doing hits
and still doing it.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Expert level. Like, it's not like
he
lost it.
But David Foster, too, though.
I mean, but Quincy Jones. Yeah. I mean, David Foster was listening to Quincy Jones.
It's my party. I could cry.
Yeah, that's Quincy.
That blew my... That's a white girl.
Yeah,
it
is. It is. But he was doing that... I can't think of her name right now, from the 60s. That was Quincy. And then he did the Sanford and Son theme, the theme that we heard from... the Sanford and Son theme was the Street Beater. Yeah, that's Street Beater. Then he did the Austin Powers. Soul Bossa Nova. That's Quincy from an album in the 60s.
This thing, he's probably eating off stuff he created in the 60s and 70s. He probably hasn't even tapped into
his 80s, 90s, 70s. Not yet, because he was doing stuff for Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon. That was Quincy. When you think of David Foster, you think of these big sweeping ballads, and they're great and they're fantastic. But when you think of a diversified portfolio, Quincy did the theme song to Ironside with Perry Mason. Like, that was him, a song from one of his albums. He wrote it, Ironside.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's just like Quincy's got some things, and then you go into his stuff in the '80s when he did the reimagining of Handel's Messiah. He reimagined all of those songs and redid them. He did, of course, he did Michael Jackson stuff, and now he's working.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With the young kids, and what I like about Quincy is not to say that David doesn't, but David knows his audience. If you want a number one adult contemporary hit, You call David Foster.
And who's his partner? Who's his partner in crime? Let's see how good you...
Wait, David Foster.
You mentioned earlier.
Diane Warren.
Yes.
Diane Warren and David Foster are going to get together and write a song.
Yeah.
And that's great because Diane Warren is, she's a legendary songwriter. Yeah. Like that. And I love Diane the way that she works because you don't ever see Diane co-writing with anybody. If it's a Diane Warren song, it's a Diane Warren song.
Right.
And so even when Beyonce did I Was Here, you know, Beyonce likes to co-write and she likes to be a part of that process.
Not it was like, Diane.
It's Diane Warren. Yeah. Diane Warren wrote. But what kind of flex is it to have Diane Warren write a song for you? Like, that is a flex.
What Aaliyah song was a Diane Warren song? Let's see how good you are.
I don't know.
You do know. If I could give you a hint.
Yeah, give me a hint.
Her only ballad she released off her One in a Million album.
It wasn't One in a Million.
The one I gave my heart to.
That was Diane?
Diane Warren. Yeah.
Wow.
For Aaliyah, right? Isn't that?
Like, that's correct. But I mean, but Aaliyah, rest in peace to a legend, a burgeoning legend. Aaliyah was fantastic. I did not know that Diane did that. But shout out to Aaliyah for having a Diane Warren composition. But yeah, my answer is definitely Quincy Jones. I would work with them both, but you know, Quincy is, he's the dude. So right. It's just like, come on now.
He's cool too, Quincy.
He's
cool.
Like, you know, even when he had to stop drinking, he's still cool. So it's like, all right, shout out to Quincy Jones.
Okay, and this is the last one I think we went over.
Okay.
With selections, because talking to you, I'm typing SWV or Escape.
SWV.
Wait.
SWV.
What's with the face? Why you don't shit on
I'm not I have nothing nothing disparaging to say about Escape. I think that they are great at what they do. They have a lane and they wrote that lane very well. I think they're talented girls. But when you come down to just sheer vocals, it's SWV. They're sisters with voices.
Yeah.
And then you got talk about nuclear weapons, you got Coco as the lead. Right. So I'm not saying that. What I'll say is this. Would you rather hear Escape sing SWV songs, or would you rather hear SWV sing Escape songs?
No, Tiny got a... I mean, I fuck with both. I mean, I'm leaning with SWV as well, too, mm-hmm. because SWV, like you said, got those nuclear weapons. They mm-hmm. brought Pharrell out. If y'all,
yeah, yeah.
You know, if you want to keep it a buck.
Yeah.
His first song was the Human Nature
Human
remix.
Nature, yep.
You know what I mean? So I fuck with us. And then Coco, her voice. Speaking of Coco, mm-hmm. I seen you and Coco have a little live rendezvous.
That's my girl. That's my friend.
That blew me away.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
That is my actual
Like, oh, wait, you know, when I was watching the live and y'all was talking about like, I was like, oh, you know them for real.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like,
that was dope.
That is my girl. And actually, Coco and I are collaborating
for
a
years.
Song on my EP.
Oh yeah, she mentioned it.
Yeah,
I heard it.
Yeah.
But you've known her for years.
It's been since 2010.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow, and you got an upcoming project. Are you working on something with her?
Studio 69 EP.
Wow.
Yeah, because Studio 54.
That's pretty dope.
So I said, why not combine things that everybody likes?
So, you know, we're not going to dive into the relationship because it's personal, obviously, with mm-hmm. Coco, but were you a fan before you met her?
Of course.
You were?
Of course. Of course.
And for you to get that approval from her and that nod had to mean a lot.
It is. It does mean a lot. It means a lot to me when anybody likes what I do, you know, whatever, of course. But to have somebody who is at the caliber of vocals that she is and of artistry and celebrity, you know,
right.
And she came to my show. I did Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
And her mom, who's also a great singer, Lady Tippa Gamble, and her son was there. My friend Titus Jackson is a gospel artist that's there. And Coco lived in the same area that I lived in.
Wow.
So it was like, all right, so she came. I was at grad school at ODU, and I was in the
Old
Dominion University. Oh, right. And I had done a production of Little Shop of Horrors. And like I was telling her, they wanted me to sing through the whole thing. So they wrote my part. They changed Ronette's name to Ronald so I could sing through the whole production.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was the only one without a microphone, right? And so the night that she came, I didn't tell anybody she was coming because I didn't want it to be like that kind of moment.
Right.
But She was so gracious. She stayed after. She was taking pictures with people. Wow. She signed autographs like she was.
Oh, so you was popping on ODU. Fantastic.
Oh, well, I was popping before she came, though. But yes, that did kind of give me a little clout. But yeah, she's great. I let me tell you who else is really supportive. Little Mo is really supportive.
Oh, wow.
I sang for her.
Cynthia Loving.
We love her.
She writes her ass off.
She writes and sings.
She sings. We know she sings.
But yeah, she's
a writer.
But
I don't know if people know about her pen.
She is a writer. Her, Kelly Price, Faith Evans, they write.
Oh, really?
And sing. Yes, Kelly writes. I call her my musical Aunt Kelly. Kelly writes. Lil Mo writes. Faith writes. And so I sang at a show in Virginia Beach for Lil Mo, and she came in. She was the featured artist. And we had interacted on Twitter.
Right.
And she knew I was a singer. I was like, oh, great. I'm in that area. I'll be at that show. And so I knew the guy that had put on the show. So they were running a little late because she was coming down from where she lived with her ex-husband. And when
Which
I got.
Which ex-husband?
Phil. Philip Bryant.
Is that one, two, or three?
That's
shout out to Lil Mo.
Shout out to Lil Mo. That's not my place to answer. I love you. but she came down, and because she knew I was there, before she sang, she asked them to let me sing for her in front of everybody. And it was great. I sang If Only You Knew by Patti LaBelle, and she loved it. She's always been super sweet and supportive, so she's got a new song out too, so it's really exciting.
That's dope. And Lil Mo's part of that Missy and Timberland.
Yeah, that whole
too.
Era, yeah.
I mean, SWV is too. To
if you think about it, yeah. They all are. Who?
Canley was a Timberland.
That was a Timberland production.
They were in the video and shit. But Coco, yeah, I think she. Do you think that SWV get the credit?
I think that SWV gets the credit from the generation that they were in. But I think the Verses did a really good job with introducing them to a new audience. Because there are some people that don't know who SWV is. And that's so interesting to me because you hear all these kids say, when did I get to the point where I say these kids? But you hear all these people say, oh, I'm a music head, but you don't know SWV. You don't know these singers. And so, or Missy Elliott's or the Little Mo's. And it's like, okay, you get introduced to them.
Right.
Which is why I loved when Katy Perry had Missy come out
on the Super Bowl.
At the Super Bowl, because people were like, oh, this is a new song. This is dope. She was singing Work It. And I was like, but the fact that think this is a new song and it's dope, like, and now she was introduced to, you know, a new generation. I think the same with SWV. And so I know that I want new SWV music for sure.
I remember growing up and my uncles and cousins and niggas on the block, doing air quotes, listening to SWV. They wouldn't listen to the female R&B, but they would dive into SWV.
Right.
Well, I feel like them and Mary were those two. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense to feel that way.
And I feel like, because I'm an SWV fan through and through, I feel like they kind of lost that edge with like the New Beginning album, and they tried to tap into it on that Diddy album that nobody really released some tension.
I remember that one too.
Y'all didn't like it. I liked that album though.
I liked it. I think that. So when you have that kind of success and then the musical landscape changes, it's kind of hard unless you stay at the pulse of it all of them were doing their own thing and they were, you know, whatever. So by the time they were ready to release other albums, it was shifting. And then, you know, I think that although I like the album, I can see why some people, it didn't resonate as well with the masses as it could have. I really liked it.
I even liked those songs with Snoop, and they not even, you know, funky. But I'm like, why is this on the album?
But because it was Snoop, and you know they wanted.
But they didn't even say.
If you had Snoop on the album, and you got to remember Snoop was like doing at that time. It was like he was, so it made sense. But I think it was just one of those things where it might have seemed to the general public like it was out of place,
right.
Like that album was out of place. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate because it was a great body of work, but you know.
What's your favorite SWV song?
My favorite SWV song, surprisingly, I want to say Weak, because that's, I love Weak.
That don't count.
But I'm going to tell you, I think Cosign is one of my favorites.
Oh,
or
wow.
Rain.
And this just came out.
It just came out. It's one of my favorites.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. Cosign and Rain.
Rain.
Yeah.
Rain. I feel like Rain is like a sleeper hit. People was on it when it came out. It was a hit when it came out.
Yeah.
But I feel like over the past few years, people really been diving into Rain.
Yeah. Because
why?
I think you got to remember the way that they framed the content back then was a little bit different than it is now. So now that people rediscover the lyrics and you have things like Genius.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So now it's like, oh, okay. I get it. Right. Like Mariah Carey with Honey. That goes on with the rhyme.
Like, wait a minute. Because I'm like, she's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It washes over me. Like, you know what Mariah Carey was talking about. Derek Jeter had her.
We did that at a talent show in school.
Yeah. Well, and that's because she wrote it in a very ambiguous way. But if you really get into the lyrics.
Wow.
Yeah.
My favorite SWV song is Win This Feeling.
I know that song. I like that song. It's not my favorite, but I can see why it's yours.
You know who wrote and produced it, right?
No.
Pharrell. That's a Pharrell song.
That is a Pharrell song.
And Neptune's Win This Feeling and wow. Use Your Heart. You know that was a Pharrell
song. I know
song.
That was a Pharrell song.
And then Can We, obviously.
Can We. That was my shit. Song.
But what about Whitney? What's your favorite Whitney song?
My favorite Whitney song that's not a cover,
right.
Or just of all the Whitney songs?
Both.
Of all the Whitney Houston songs, I think that my favorite, like I love all of her songs. I know all of her catalog. Literally, I know all of her albums inside and out because I practice to them. I sing to them. Favorite Whitney song that's a cover, obviously, is I Will Always Love You. No, my favorite Whitney song that's a cover is I'm Every Woman. Whitney ate that cover. Like she chewed it up, left no crumbs, spit it out, put it in a trash can, tied it up, took it to the curb, sat it outside. Like she did that. My favorite Whitney Houston song that is not a cover would probably be How Will I Know?
Okay. What about her last album?
The I Look to You album. From that album, my favorite song from that album would probably be Worth It. Worth It is my favorite song from that album. It was a good album.
It really was.
But I'm upset. I'm upset about how they handled that whole thing. So Whitney's vocal coach at the time said that they had gotten her to go in to do vocal coaching, and he was like, if she had stayed in the vocal coaching for like another month or two, she would have sounded like she sounded in 1995. But they just wanted it enough for her to record.
All their voices changed, though. Like everybody except Coco.
Coco's voice doesn't change. Shantae Moore's voice hasn't changed.
Sleep on Shantae Moore.
None of the Clark sisters' voices have really changed. Right. Gladys Knight's voice hasn't changed.
Oh, wow. Patty.
Patty's voice hasn't really changed. Shaka's voice hasn't really changed.
Wow.
But you got to remember that the magnitude of the Whitney's, the Mariah, and Celine's voice has changed, but not much. Like Celine's still doing, but see, Celine did it smart. She went to Vegas. She knew just how to manipulate it so that she could be comfortable. But when you at the magnitude of like a Whitney Houston who like she toured The Bodyguard for 3 years, like that was hard. Yeah. Mariah is doing all these tours and the type of singing that they do. And Whitney didn't lip sync. So she was just like, you're going to get it. So you're doing this hard singing for 3 years and you got all these other things going on. It, you know, it's inevitable. Plus, I don't know if you know this or not, but soprano's voices tend to decline around 35.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Kiki, if you're an alto, they don't. Kiki, well, you know. I like Kiki Wyatt.
And let me ask you this. This is about to be controversial.
Okay.
Name someone who is a singer but can't sing.
Name someone who is a singer but can't sing?
Yeah.
I'm not answering that.
Why not?
I can't answer that question.
I'm going to say T-Boss.
Would you consider T-Boss a singer?
Baby, I don't know. She was, what is she, a rapper?
I think that she's a member of TLC and she's an integral.
Hey, I argue with somebody out there about this. Who was the talent of TLC?
Left Eye.
Okay, could Chili sing?
Chili did what she needed to do. She sang well enough to
thoughts on Chili. Yeah. Amazing. TLC is amazing.
Yeah, TLC is amazing. I think that T-Boz brought an element that was necessary to she was cool. I think that she did what she needed to do vocally.
She had that machine behind her too.
I mean,
LaFace
is a machine. But singers that can't, you know what? Let me bite the bullet and say this. But I'm going to preface it with, I think that everybody who makes music is, you know, I think that it's a good thing that they do. And I don't want to disparage anybody, but I have heard people. I have heard people that singing might not be their lane because, like, you know, they're diverse artists and they're writing and so forth. But, you know, I can't call it. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. I think that was a good example that you
okay,
gave.
I'm going to say Pharrell can't sing, but is a good singer. That could be true.
I think so. Pharrell, for all intents and purposes, Pharrell can sing. He stays on his pitch. He stays in the key signature. You know, he's not a singer. Like, you wouldn't put him in the conversation with, like, you know, the singers. But he found what he does and he makes it work for him. So I appreciate singers like that. Let me be quiet. There are some new singers that can't sing. They sing in these weird italics. I don't know what it is.
SZA.
It's interesting to me because I judge a singer by how they sing live.
Right.
And I just don't understand.
What about Coi Leray?
What about her? What do I think about her? I don't think about her. it's just that.
Who's your dream producer to collab with?
Missy Elliott, Harmony Samuels, and Linda Perry.
Oh, Linda Perry, you bringing it back. Linda Perry's still working?
Linda Perry's still working. If she's not, she should be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I like Linda Perry.
Beautiful, Four Non-Blondes.
Mm-hmm. I love what she did from...
Oh, she did... some Gwen Stefani shit too.
She did. I love what she did with Christina Aguilera's Back to Basics album. I love that whole jazz era modern thing that she did. Although Christina, okay. But, you know.
I be knowing. Okay, and who else? Who's your favorite, like, vocal, or not favorite, who's your dream vocal collab?
Mariah Carey, dead or alive, right? Well,
don't put your foot in your mouth. You better not say Whitney. I'm joking.
I mean,
yeah.
As my favorite singer, I would love to collaborate with Whitney Houston. I would love to have collaborated with Aretha Franklin. I would love to have collaborated. I would love to do something with, like, Karen Clark or Dorinda.
Right.
But I think from a songwriting standpoint and the background standpoint and being in the studio, my dream vocal collab would probably be Mariah Carey.
Yeah, Mariah Carey. Those background vocals on those, it's a whole different song if you sit.
And the thing is, she doesn't get credit for her backs.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, there's Mariah Carey, there's Beyonce, there's Faith Evans, there's Brandy, there's Tweet, there's Janet Jackson. Like, these people do these ridiculous background vocal arrangements. J Moss, like, they have these stellar background vocal arrangements. And Mariah Carey, like, you have to put her name in that conversation.
Right.
But my pen is so influenced by hers. The way that I approach backs are so influenced by her. Is so influenced by her. Like, she absolutely a dream collaboration.
That's dope. So Mariah, I know you listening to ASAP. You make sure you DM me or DM Michael.
Yeah.
What's your social media?
At MDB Sings.
Correct. MBD Sings.
M is in Mike, D is in Delta, B is in Bravo, Sings. And I did a Mariah Carey cover. I did it live in studio. I did Emotions. It's on my Instagram.
Okay, we're gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
And you mentioned earlier about your collab with Coco. When we're supposed to be getting that?
Well, it is forthcoming. I haven't set a date yet. There's some other songs that I'm working on and some other features. But I have a really big, major feature on my EP. But I can't say it yet because there's some agreements that I signed. But when the EP comes out and you hear that feature, you'll understand why the title of the EP is Studio 69. I'll just say that.
Are we getting a video for If You Wanna?
You will be getting a visual for If You Wanna.
And can you tell us when to expect that visual for If You Wanna?
We are right now. I have a wonderful friend of mine. His name is Adetayo for Jameson. He's a designer. So we're getting some custom pieces together for that. And once we have that, then we can release the full visual. So you're going to get a smaller visual and then you get the full out music video for it. So,
okay, that's going to be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
So we're going to stay tuned to that. And Michael, what do our listeners need to do as soon as possible?
The first thing they need to do is go to iTunes and type in Michael DeBauer's Purchase My Song If You Want. It's just $1.29. And every one of your listeners is so wealthy and well-to-do that it wouldn't be anything for them to drop $1.29. Or they can stream it after they purchase it on Tidal and all of the other social or streaming apps. I prefer Tidal because it pays us the most. It's 3 cents per stream as opposed to half a cent per stream from the other ones. And of course, then follow my Instagram and my Twitter is at MDB Sings, and I have a Facebook too. My artist page is Michael D. Bowers as well.
Let me show you this.
Oh, come on. Come date. On, Purchase.
Look at the date. See?
Oh, come on. The date that it came out. All right. See? We love us. We love support.
Shout out. And I'm going to drop that information down in the description of this episode. So y'all make sure you guys purchase Michael D. Bowers if you want to. DM me proof of purchase because I got a little contest coming up.
Oh,
we got to support our black artists and our black entrepreneurs and business owners. And again, if you are new to ASAP and the Sean Allen podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe or follow button wherever you listen to podcasts. See you guys on the next one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.